It's time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Thank you, Chad Erickson. Yes, it does on this Thursday edition of the show. We'll be joined by Bruce Beck, NBC4 New York sports director, longtime New York sports aficionado. Get his thoughts on the Yankees, the Mets, the Knicks, who knows, anything else I could fit into two segments with the great Bruce Beck, who I grew up watching, and it always still weirds me out when I talk to him because I grew up watching him on like MSG, doing Yankee games and things like that. So be a good conversation with Bruce Beck. We'll have that coming up. We may or may not have a guest to talk about the Bills roster gutting. I don't want to tease it because if it doesn't come to pass, then I got to redo this segment. So I'm not going to tell you who that guest potentially is, but we may have a surprise guest joining us to talk about the Bills roster gutting. Sammy Arnell will certainly talk about the Bills roster gutting if worst comes to worst, that's for sure, because he is Buffalo Bills fan A1. So we'll get into it a little bit with Sam as well a little later on in the show. Odds and ends, something to consider, a whole bunch to get to in the show. Incredibly disappointing news about Rafa Nadal as well to talk about that we'll get to a little later on, especially for fans out where I am in Palm Springs, California. Because he was slated to play at the BNP Paribas tonight. That's not going to happen. He pulled out of the tournament. We'll talk about what all that means a little later on in the show. But we start things out with, yes, the myth of Kirk Cousins versus the reality of Kirk Cousins. You know, as I was preparing for the show yesterday, I decided I wanted to go and do some digging. And for all the quarterbacks that we talk about, quarterbacks that have done this, quarterbacks that have done that. Who's underperformed to expectations? Lamar Jackson up until last year, he'd only won one playoff game. What's Deshaun Watson done in his career? What has this guy done? What has that guy done? Do you know that in his playoff career, Kirk Cousins is 1-4? One win, four losses in his playoff career. And the only one I'll really give him a pass on is the last one he lost to the Giants, because that was a shootout and Minnesota had no answer to stop the Giants. Minnesota had no answer to stop anybody in the 2022 season. So we shouldn't be all that surprised they lost that game. But Kirk Cousins, for all the adulation, for all the love that he gets, for all the conversation, he's the prize of this NFL free agent quarterback class. One win, four losses. And I can go through a laundry list of guys that have one or more wins in their postseason career that are far more maligned than Kirk Cousins has been in his NFL career. Sammy Arnell, what do you have to say about that? We know that already know he is the all-time greatest bag getter, and he's going to get one more big bag in this offseason. But what are you getting with that bag if you're an NFL team is what you have to ask yourself.
A couple of things, Jason. First of all, I think that it's imperative that we remember that the first two of those losses in the playoffs came because he was on the Washington Commanders. Then obviously known by a different name, but that's never been a team throughout any year that Kirk was there that was built to win a playoff game. And every time they were in the playoffs, it was because they backed their way in. In Minnesota, a little different, but you know, you could even justify that that one win was incredibly lucky. That was the play with the missed pass interference call. Mm-hmm. And that's the only time Kirk Cousins has won a playoff game against the Saints. Kirk Cousins, I've said on the show, you just mentioned it, Hall of Fame bag getter. The guy will go anywhere and make $40 million. If you look at how much money he's made over the course of his career, it's ridiculous. I think that he's going to go back to Washington, Jason. This is a conclusion that I came to over the course of the weekend and earlier this week. I think that Kirk Cousins is going back to Washington, and I think that they're going to throw the bag at him as he deserves. I mean, he was good until he got hurt last season. He was very good. He, you know, made Justin Jefferson wide receiver one the year before that. Kirk definitely gets a little more credit than he deserves because of the price tag that seems to come on him every single season. I agree with you, Jason. He's definitely not as good as he's been paid over the course of his career. That is to say, though, he's a top 20 quarterback in the league easily.
Top
he's
20? There's only 32 starters.
Okay, there are 32 jobs, and he's in the, I would even go top 16. I would say he's in the top half of starters. Can I name 10 starters better than Kirk Cousins off the top of my head? Can you, Jason?
How many?
10. Can you give me 10 starters better than Kirk Cousins off the top of your head?
Off the top
obviously,
of my
Mahomes,
head.
Mahomes, Jackson, Allen, Burrow, Herbert.
Herbert. I'd take Dak over him.
Okay. See, that's interesting. I would not.
Yeah, I would take Dak over him. I mean, my God.
But, I said Lamar.
I mean, look, it gets muddy. I think no matter who you're talking about, it gets muddy after 7 or 8, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think once you get past the top 7 or 8 quarterbacks in the league, there's a lot of guys that you could kind of throw into the middle of the conversation. My bottom line is he is Matt Kuchar. He is John Isner. He's a guy that looks fancy, wins games, but can't win in the postseason. Frankly, he's Donald Trump. You know, I mean, to even go a step further. He's Donald Trump in that Donald Trump is to go political here for a second. Donald Trump is great for the Republican primaries. He will win everything in the Republican primaries and then get to the general election. And he's, you know, which is the playoffs essentially for politics. And he won't win there. That's essentially what you get with Kirk Cousins. He's the great regular season quarterback. He is that guy. He's Dak Prescott in that regard. So I'd lump him into that same category. It just blows my mind that look, I hate to say this because I'm going to open up a can of worms with 50 seconds left in the segment. There's a racial component to this. We bang on guys like Lamar Jackson who win MVPs.
I don't.
I do. So I'm guilty. Sure. You know, and we hold them to a different standard, but Kirk Cousins could go 1-4 in the playoffs, and all we do is sit here and go, he's going to get so much money in this offseason. It blows my mind. It really does.
Well, I think that, and I'll keep this short, but I think that, you know, you could go back to the beginning of Kirk Cousins' career when he was behind RG3, and look at that, when he takes over the job for RG3.
You like that?
Kind of the exact same thing you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't like that. We're coming back. Bruce Beck, NBC4 in New York on the Yankees, the Mets, the Knicks, a whole bunch of other stuff.
Over 13 million Americans were affected by identity theft in 2022, and the threats go way beyond just credit card fraud. Today's identity thieves can use your information in ways that are easy to miss by just monitoring accounts and credit, like opening loans, transferring home titles, even committing crimes.
Someone got my Social Security number, made a driver's license, and was used for criminal activity.
You can do so much with a Social Security number that I didn't know could happen. They drained my bank account. It was terrifying.
You're even more vulnerable than you realize. Your information is exposed through online shopping, banking, even corporate data breaches. No wonder there's a new victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. Only LifeLock alerts you to the widest volume of threats all in one place. Like someone trying to use your Social Security number, open a new loan in your name, or even commit a crime in your name.
There was a big yes button and there was a big no button. I clicked, that's not me, and LifeLock took it from there.
If you become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will be assigned to your case and work to fix the issue on your behalf.
If something happens, you have somebody fighting for you.
All LifeLock members are backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package, including reimbursement for stolen funds, personal expenses, and coverage for lawyers and experts up to $1 million. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. With LifeLock, it's easy to help protect yourself.
I will be with LifeLock forever.
Join the millions of people already protected by LifeLock. And for a limited time, save 25% on your first year with promo code 25TV.
All plans include a 60-day money-back guarantee.
Call 800-710-7531
or visit LifeLock.com/25TV to save 25% on your first year of identity theft protection. Enroll now.
You learn pretty fast that there are no shortcuts in racing or in life. One of my first attempts to deal with my own hair loss was a literal shortcut. Thankfully, my wife found Hair Club. I was shocked that Hair Club had virtually every solution possible. If I had known about Hair Club sooner, I never would have tried any of those overhyped advertised solutions. You can get your own free personalized consultation with a hair loss expert and be on your way to the finish line in no time.
Scan the code on your screen now to schedule a free consultation and save 20% on select solutions using promo code Frankie.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday edition of the show. Tim Graham will join us in 20 minutes from The Athletic, talk about the Buffalo Bills and all the roster gutting they did. But let's talk about some New York sports. I haven't talked to this guy in a minute. Bruce Beck does a great job, NBC4 New York, their longtime sports director, hanging out with us on the show. I figure we kill two birds with one stone, get our Yankees and Mets in, maybe a little bit of Knicks if we can squeeze it in as well. Start with the Yankees, Bruce, and boy, I mean, this Juan Soto thing looks pretty good early on, doesn't it?
Man, he is on fire. I know it's only spring training, but you really never know how it's going to translate later, but this guy brings an energy. I mean, he looks small compared to Judge and Stanton when they stand next to each other, but he is compact, and he's got it all. And he's in a year where he knows he can make a lot of money in the future if he has a monster season and if the Yankees are successful. Scott Boras wants that, and so does Soto. I think he really looks good, and he's going to be the guy that's going to be batting in front of Aaron Judge. So Soto, who's a great guy to get on base, is going to see better pitching this year with Judge behind him. I just think that the two of them could be one of the best 1-2 punches ever.
You spent a couple of weeks in Florida, so let's start with the Yankees. What was the vibe around this team coming off the moves they made in the offseason, bringing a Verdugo, a Grisham, a Soto? Give me some of the feel of what you got when you were down there.
I think the vibe is good because they're still driven by last year's disappointing season. And they also believe that this is the year that they have to produce. And Aaron Judge, Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman, they're all being looked at. Judge has never won at all. Cashman and Boone are both basically in a situation where if they don't succeed, they both could be gone. So I think the players know that. Management knows that. There's a vibrancy there. If LeMahieu, Rodon stay healthy, Stanton, another big question mark, you know that you've got some givens with Judge and Cole, and Volpe, I think, will bat 250 instead of 211. I think this team has all the components, Jason, this year to make a good run.
Boy, Rizzo is one that really interests you as well, because obviously the concussion last year and the time that cost him, and he was really raking before that injury took place. And watching him so far in spring training, he looks like same old Rizzo to me.
Yes, he says he's gotten through it. You know, he had to go to a vestibular specialist, which is really for the brain following a concussion. I know about that because I had vertigo recently, and those people that are, they are vestibular specialists are amazing, and he's back. And, you know, he's one of the guys that's a leader in that clubhouse too. So if he produces, and you got LeMahieu, who I know has looked good, and he's had a couple of years where that foot has not been 100% and he can't push off the way he wants to, but he can't bat 220, 230. He needs to bat 275, 280. They had too many bats in the lineup last year, which were hovering around 200.
Yeah.
I think the lineup, Jason, could be absolutely ferocious if you go LeMahieu, Soto,
it's crazy.
Judge, Rizzo, Stanton,
yeah,
Torres, Verdugo.
You mentioned Torres. I mean, you didn't even mention Torres. And I mean,
there's and he's a free agent, yeah, too.
And he's a free agent as well. Do you think they're waiting to see what the rest of this rotation looks like throughout the spring before making a final decision on whether to throw a bag at Blake Snell to bring him in? Because I know Rodon last night, I know they were concerned about the velocity wasn't necessarily there and things like that. Do you get the sense that they're kind of just riding this out and waiting as long as they can before they make a decision on him?
I don't think they're going to make a move with either Snell or Montgomery.
Wow.
Because their payroll is such that every dollar is like $2 with the luxury tax.
Okay.
So this is their lineup. Cortez and Schmidt are in the back end. Cortez is healthier than he's been. He looks pretty good. But the question mark is Rodon. And I think Stroman will be fine. A ground ball pitcher in that ballpark will do fine. So your rotation is Cole, who you know what you're getting, 33 starts, 200-plus strikeouts, an ERA probably under 3. You're getting the question marks next is Stroman and Rodon. And all you have to know about Rodon is yesterday, his first pitch he gave up was a home run.
Yeah.
And his last pitch was a home run. So he has not been good. He's usually good every other year, Jason.
Yeah.
So I think this year is his year to get good again. But that's their rotation. They're going to stick with it. I can't see them pulling the trigger on Montgomery or Snell. Mm-hmm. Maybe Stevie Cohen will, if those guys are still on the market and it's July, and he's going to go for it. But otherwise, I don't think the Mets are going to go for it. Yankees are, the rotation is solid if they're healthy. And if they're not healthy, you're right. They're going to need to do something, but I don't think it's going to be a big time spending.
Bruce, I got about a minute and a half left in this segment with you. Give me a thought on the Mets, because fans were unhappy that this team really didn't upgrade in the offseason from what they were a year ago. And a lot of people are wondering, you know, what is Steve Cohen trying to accomplish? Everybody thought when he came in, took the franchise over from the Wilpons, that this was going to be a new era where the Mets were willing to go out and spend with the likes of the Yankees. And this offseason, they were pretty quiet.
All right, I'll be concise because I know what it's like to be on your side, okay? The Mets are in a reset. They are not spending money. They have $86 million locked in with Scherzer and Verlander, and they're not here. So even though their payroll is the highest in baseball, they are not going for it this year. They are going to reset to go for it next year. Severino has to pitch well. They don't have a good guy at the top of the line of the rotation because, you know, Senga is hurt right now. There's so many questions with the top of the lineup. I think the batting order will be okay. Keep an eye on Pete Alonso. He's in a contract year. Again, Boris is waiting to get him a 7-year deal. I think the Mets are looking at a 72 to 83 win season, and I think the Yankees can win 95. Steve Cohen will spend in the future, but this is a reset. They've made it clear. But watch that kid Alvarez behind the plate. He could hit 35 home runs. He's a heck of a ball player, and they got to get something out of Brett Beatty at third base, but I don't know how much they will.
Bruce Beck, I'm going to have you for one more because I want to talk about the Knicks real quick. Bruce Beck, NBC4 in New York. He does a terrific job on all things New York sports. He's been the mainstay there at NBC4 in New York for quite some time. We'll continue the conversation. I want to ask him about the Knicks as we continue Sports Wrap rolling along on this Thursday. Continuing our conversation on this Thursday edition of the show with NBC4 New York's sports director, the great Bruce Beck, hanging out with us on the program today and giving us some thoughts on the Yankees and the Mets. One more on the Mets before I move to the Knicks, Bruce. If they play above expectations and can be a factor in that National League East, which after Atlanta, let's be honest, you're kind of going, eh. I mean, I know the Phillies are pretty good, but, you know, if they can be in the mix for, say, a second wild card or something of that ilk, do you think when they get to the deadline, if they were in the mix, Steve Cohen would make moves, even if it meant adding more payroll?
Yes, it's a fair question, and I think absolutely they will, because they're not planning on doing it now. But if they're in the race and their fans know it and they know it, I'm not saying they're going to spend huge money,
right,
but they'll try to be clever and they'll try to pick up a piece that will maybe get them to the postseason. What's not to try for? Because he's got the money. It's just he knows where he is in the cap and he knows that they're the highest payroll in baseball. And as I said in the last segment, it's a reset year, but I do believe that he and David Stearns will make a move if they're in the hunt in some way. I think the Phillies are better than them, and I think the Braves are much better than them. But you just never know how this thing will play out. Maybe the Mets are the Diamondbacks of this year. It could happen.
Move to the Knicks, who have just been plagued with injuries. Jalen Brunson, the knee contusion, the latest. Looks like they're going to get Randall and Ananobi back soon. Can they tread water long enough, avoid the play-in? And, you know, I was talking about it yesterday with an NBA guy who's with NBC Sports, Kurt Heelan, and we were talking about it. And he said, look, there's no reason they can't be the Miami Heat of last year.
I think the Miami Heat, by the way, are getting better fast. And all of a sudden, that Knicks position is looking precarious. They are dropping fast. And Orlando had a come-from-behind win last night, too. They're ahead of the Knicks by a game in the Eastern Conference race. I thought they could tread water, but they keep getting more injuries. Hartenstein has been out. Brunson should be back. Randall, I don't know when he's coming back. And if he does, you don't know what's going to happen with that shoulder. Ananobi, they need back because he was the glue. And defensively, he is the key component. They have to figure out a way to try to stay out of that play-in. And if they do so, they still have to get healthy to make any kind of run because the East, for a while there, it looked like the Knicks were the second best team.
Sure did.
But that was for about 2 days, Jason, and then everything fell apart. So I don't know if they can recapture the magic because for a while they were winning 10 straight and they were playing lights out basketball and Josh Hart and DiVincenzo. But I'm not sure how well they're going to be able to tread here.
Does it feel like they're one player away? And is that player maybe Donovan Mitchell?
I don't know if it works with the Brunson scenario. Yeah. I always felt that they needed Mitchell and whatever it takes, get the star, especially in New York. I think they are maybe one piece away, but it doesn't have to be a superstar because I think Jalen Brunson might be the guy. So if Brunson gets another component to go with Ananobi, maybe you have to give up Randall to get that piece. But you've got Hart, you've got DiVincenzo, you've got Mitchell Robinson hopefully coming back. You've got Hartenstein. Alec Burks has not lived up to the billing, unfortunately.
Bogdanovich has kind of struggled since getting there too.
But I think one player in the offseason, I don't think it'll happen this year, but I think in the offseason, get another piece to add to this mix, a healthy group with Jalen Brunson emerging as one of the stars of the league, I think that might be enough. For a while, I thought you had to go out there and get a big-time star. But, Jason, there is no free agency anymore in the NBA. They all sign. They all sign before that. They get the max with the team that they're with usually. I don't see it happening. It's not that old days of LeBron and the decision. It just doesn't happen anymore.
No, certainly doesn't. Before I let you go, a thought on the Giants, because there's this conversation that's sort of hovering around the team now, obviously with the team letting Saquon Barkley walk, and who knows, maybe there's a scenario where they could bring him back, but it seems like they've made the decision to move on from the 27-year-old back. There seems to be some thought that there's some discontent when it comes to the quarterback spot and Daniel Jones right now. I'm trying to figure out where it came from, given the fact that he was banged up last year. They didn't have much of an offensive line to protect him. Now you get rid of Barkley, which is his biggest offensive weapon. Right. What are the Giants doing at quarterback if it's not Daniel Jones?
I don't know. And no one knows. And the identity of this team, Jason, is in flux right now because Barkley was the one thing you could guarantee you could depend on, but not with the injuries, and that's always a worry, but at least he was a weapon, right? They talk about having those guys that are game breakers. He's that. Jones's best attribute is his ability to run, and coming off ACL, how is he going to be able to run as effectively? They're going to have to go after somebody in the draft. Do they trade up from six to try to get one of these stars in the first three or four positions? That's one of the questions you ask. Number two, do they forego a quarterback in the first round and try to get a quarterback in the second or third round? Or do they somehow say,
Russell Wilson?
No, I can't see that one. I just can't.
Why?
But I know he's out there.
I mean, Brian Daboll's worked magic with quarterbacks before. Why can't he revitalize Russell Wilson?
That's a big revitalization. If he didn't do it with one of the great offensive minds, Sean Payton, how is he going to do it with Daboll? I mean, I don't see it happening. This Giants team has a lot to think about, because they need the offensive line. Nobody can succeed if the offensive line isn't better. Other than Andrew Thomas, there's really no given. Darren Waller's contemplating retirement.
Yeah.
And you've got no wideout that stands out as an A.J. Brown. There's nobody like that. So they have a lot to think about as an organization. Everything begins with the quarterback position. I think they're committed to Jones for this year because he's got 1 year left in the deal at $40 million. After that, all bets are off.
Yeah. And and it's a big season for Brian Daboll, obviously. You know,
Joe Shane. And Shane said to us on Baggy Day that he's gonna bring a quarterback in, whether that's picking someone in the draft or getting a veteran. But he has to get a quarterback. The only guy left in the roster is Tommy DeVito. We saw he had a good run last year, but in terms of going forward, I don't think there's enough there to build a franchise around. And Tyrod Taylor not gonna be there. No. He's got no contract. So They got to even bring a quarterback into camp. Can you throw that ball at all? I mean, we need somebody to even show up in camp to make it work.
Bruce, always appreciate it, my friend. Be well.
You too, JP. I hope to speak to you soon.
You learn pretty fast that there are no shortcuts in racing or in life. One of my first attempts to deal with my own hair loss was a literal shortcut. Thankfully, my wife found Hair Club. I was shocked the Hair Club had virtually every solution possible. If I had known about Hair Club sooner, I never would have tried any of those overhyped advertised solutions. You can get your own free personalized consultation with a hair loss expert and be on your way to the finish line in no time.
Scan the code on your screen now to schedule a free consultation and save 20% on select solutions using promo code Frankie.
Good to have you with us on this Thursday edition of the show. So much NFL's off-season news that we continue to chronicle. Sammy Arnell will rejoin us coming up in about 10 minutes for something to consider. Then we got odds and ends. But first, say hello to Tim Graham. Does a great job with The Athletic. He's been covering the Bills for about 700 years. Gives us a few minutes on the program today to talk about some major roster gutting going on over there in Buffalo. It was funny. I was looking at one of your posts and you were like, Bills fans prepared to be mad at me. Look, what surprised you most about the moves we've seen in the last 24 hours from this team? Which one took you most by surprise?
I think the sheer volume of them all at one point. I'm thinking to myself, general manager Brandon Bean could at least spread these out a little bit, not only for us, but for himself, because that had to be a series of excruciating phone calls for him, not only saying goodbye to so many players, three of them captains. We learned about Tre'Davious White, the former Defensive Player of the Year candidate, and that wasn't a surprise. He was returning last season, full go from a non-contact knee injury suffered on Thanksgiving in 2021, and comes back last year and then suffers the Achilles injury. So you weren't really sure if he was going to be able to contribute fully this year, when he was going to be back. Bean even dropped a hint that maybe it would be next year for Tre'Davious White. So that not really a surprise. The other safety, Jordan Poyer, another captain, big player, big heart and soul player. I don't throw around the word warrior too much, but this is a guy who played with a still healing punctured lung 2 years ago. He couldn't make the flight to Arrowhead Stadium, so the Bills put him in one of those sprint vans and sent his family from Buffalo down the road to Kansas City. Played in the game, played great. They won. I mean, just again, just a tremendous player, but also mileage on him in his 30s, had lost a step, no interceptions last year, only one sack, just didn't quite have it, even though he was one of those leaders. Mitch Morse, the center, he's the third of the three captains to mention. That was the surprise of the group. Still not a total surprise, though. He has a concussion history. He has a big contract, but he was that anchor of that offensive line for such a long time. And one of the great strengths ending the 2023 campaign was to take a look at the roster and say, the Bills are getting their entire offensive line back. You don't have to worry about the offensive line. And now, lo and behold, they're now moving some parts around. And the loss of Mitch Morse, I think, was probably the one that was the biggest eyebrow raiser for me. But still, big contract, older player, concussion history, and the Bills were so far over the cap, they had to make some tough ones.
Are you even surprised they're hanging on to Von Miller at this point? I know they restructured his deal, you know, lowered his base from like $17 million down to $1.5 million. Are you surprised they even hang on to him at this point?
Well, they have to, because his contract was so exorbitant that the dead cap hit would actually cost them and handcuff them even more. There's at least some value in having the body on their roster in hopes that he can do something. So that just goes to show that the contract was not great, a misstep for Brandon Bean. He hasn't had many of them as general manager of the Bills. But Von Miller, you know, at least until the details come out regarding how his contract was restructured, seems to be taking one for the team. He fancies himself a future NFL executive, so maybe him talking it out with Brandon Bean as, you know, what would you want if you were a future general manager out of your star player and when you're trying to mesh this roster. But the off the field thing with Von Miller, and I don't want to just call it a thing. I mean, he was arrested, not just accused of, he was arrested by Dallas police of assaulting his pregnant girlfriend. Now, the Bills are confident based on their intel that those charges will be dropped and nothing's going to cover that. But Bills fans are could not be more done with Von Miller. And him restructuring this contract maybe says, all right, well, at least he's doing the team a solid. But the Bills fans certainly want Von Miller gone.
I've got about 2 minutes here. All this movement here saved them about $36 million. All right, I'm making you Brandon Bean. Where are you spending that $36
million? Oof. Well, they need to rehaul their defensive backfield. Not only Tre'Davious White, you know he's not going to be around and available. You're losing Jordan Poyer, we mentioned. Micah Hyde, the other safety. They were 7 years together, decorated, Pro Bowlers. I think Micah Hyde was a second-team All-Pro. Poyer was a first-team All-Pro. They're both gone, probably. Micah Hyde contemplating retirement. His contract's up. Saran Neal, mostly a special teams player, but a versatile defensive back who could play safety and could play cornerback. The Bills are going to have to totally rebuild their secondary, and that includes their defensive backfield coach, John Butler, very well respected, wanted the defensive coordinator job that Bobby Babich got, so he left on principle, not necessarily a rift with Sean McDermott, but still thinks he just wants to be a defensive coordinator, feels like he needed to leave the team to go make that happen. So they don't even have their defensive backs coach. So a talented group historically under Sean McDermott. He's always had great defensive backs, particularly safeties. Now they're going to have to totally rebuild it.
Yeah, and hey, good news. They got Mitch Trubisky, though, to back up Josh Allen.
Don't forget
Let's
punter
go!
Matt Hawk. They signed him yesterday. They signed a punter yesterday, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, yes. It's always great when we've got punter news that we can wiggle into a segment. Tim Graham, check out his work over at The Athletic. Does a great job on all things Buffalo Bills. It was good to catch up with you. Let's do it again soon, all right?
Thanks for having me on, Jason. Anytime.
Tim Graham hanging out with us on the program. Don't go anywhere. Something to consider right around the corner. We'll let Sam Yarnell opine about his Bills. Lots more to do. Karl Anthony Towns, big injury for him and the Minnesota T-Wolves. All of that as we continue on Sports Wrap.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 or more a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. Stop overpaying for expensive prescriptions. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call now and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us anytime, day or night, and start saving big money for the exact same results. Have your credit card ready. Ordering is fast and easy, with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. Call now.
Thanks again to Tim Graham for hanging out with us. Does a great job at The Athletic, covering the Buffalo Bills. Now, I cannot let the Bills topic go without letting Sam Yarnell opine, Bills fan number one. Something to consider, Sam Yarnell. The end of the Bills as we know it? What is going on in Buffalo?
Jason, this has been, at least in my opinion, this is a day that has been a long time coming. And quite frankly, I think that there's an argument to be made that Brandon Bean and the Bills front office, who have performed well throughout their tenure, barring Sean McDermott, of course, we know that he is a complete and total letdown in every sense of the word when it comes to NFL coaching at the level that the Bills are at. This is something that could have happened a year ago. Not a single one of these players that were cut really was a difference maker on the field at any point. You see the Bills sign Taylor Rapp to a 3-year extension. There's a guy who's earned a bag. Listen, I know that the immediate reaction from everybody in Buffalo was the classic Buffalo fan reaction of, I really liked these guys personally, and I saw them a lot in the community, so of course they shouldn't have gotten released, or I should say shouldn't have been released. They should have been retained until they couldn't play football anymore. The reality of the situation is that it's a business, and these were all business decisions that the Bills had to make, and quite frankly would have been in a dangerous spot had they not made them. You're looking at a team, if they keep guys like Poyer, guys like White, don't restructure a guy like Von Miller, you're looking at a team that is in the cap hell of cap hells, and would pretty much have their hands tied from making any move that would make them a real contender yet for this season. So this is exciting because now the Bills will have that money to go out and get a true wide receiver too, instead of Gabe Davis, who's the best wide receiver in the NFL once every 6 weeks. It'll be a team that is much more rounded, I feel like, going into this season, especially with the release of Tre'Davious White, and we're finally coming to the realization of the reality that the guy just has injury issues. He was really, really good at football when he was an all-pro before the injuries caught up to him, but he's at a point in his career where he can't string together 10 healthy games in a row, and we're not talking about a guy being banged up, right? We're talking about structural injuries, ACLs, Achilles. Tre'Davious White had a great career. It's a shame that it had to end this way. But the reality of it is the Bills had to make this move, all of these moves, Jason.
Don't forget the bright side, though. Mitchell Trubisky going to be backing up Josh Allen. I mean, it's key, man. It's key.
Hey, he's the best backup quarterback the Bills have had in the last, maybe since Josh Allen's career began. Seriously, you're talking about guys like, you're talking about Kyle Allen and Matt Barkley.
Okay.
Give me Mitch Trubisky over those two, 6 ways to Sunday.
Trouble in Minnesota. Shocker. A key injury to a key player in an NBA team that could have done some things in this postseason. Karl Anthony Towns, the Cat, torn meniscus reportedly. Who knows how long he's going to be out, but probably you'd have to think it's going to cost him the rest of the season. You know, even if you're talking about arthroscopic surgery, I've had a torn meniscus. It's not fun, and I'm not 7 feet tall. So bad news, obviously, for the T-Wolves. It's good news for some of these other teams, though, that are competing out there in the West. But, boy, You know, Minnesota, just every year it's something with this team. They had injuries last year. I think it was Carl Anthony Towns had an injury last year, too, that had him out for a lengthy amount of time. And what does that do as far as the T-Wolves title chances? Just looking at their odds right now over on FanDuel, it's now, oh boy.
32-1.
Hold on, I'm getting to an age where I got to do this. 32-1. They are plus 3,200 now to win the NBA championship. That is the ninth best odds to win it all. Probably went down a bit after this injury. What do you make of it?
Honestly, it's not really a needle mover for me, Jason. And here's why.
Well, I didn't think they were winning the championship anyway.
A week ago or 2 weeks ago. No matter where the Timberwolves came out in the West, whether they were doing really well, right? This is a conversation we had months ago was, hey, these guys are so high in the Western Conference. Why are their odds not reflective of it? And it's because look at the draw they would have, who they would have had to play, you know, as that one seed, as that two seed. It would have been problematic. And now it's going to be even more problematic when you're talking about, you know, a team like the Mavericks coming in. You're talking about teams like maybe if Jason's really lucky, the Warriors, if they back their way into the play-in and you know, get through it and somehow
Warriors are going to wind up in the top eight. You mark my words, Warriors are going to be out of the play-in. They're going to wind up in the top eight. They will. They're only two games
regardless,
out.
Regardless. I don't think the Timberwolves can beat, even quite frankly, with Kat, and we all know how down I am on the Warriors this year. I'm that down on the Timberwolves. I think that the Timberwolves might lose or at least go six games with a Warriors team, which is exactly why they're 32-1.
By the way, they got 20 games left on the schedule. Do the T-Wolves. They're the top seed in the West. I wonder how far they fall between now and the end of the regular season. Because right now they are the top seed in the West, so we'll have to.
Do they go 500 from here on out, Jason?
It still makes them probably a top three seed.
Oh, 100%. But can they do that without Kat?
I don't know where they go. Such a huge part of what they do.
Welcome to the Ant Edwards Show.
Yeah, going to be his time to shine. Odds and ends are right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's next on Sports Wrap. All right, just about time to put the wraps on this baby. Before we do, a reminder, go and subscribe to the Sports Wrap with Jason Page podcast vodcast. It's on Spotify to watch the show. Maybe it's not carried every day on your station of choice. Maybe it's only carried on the weekends. Maybe it's only carried on the weekdays. If you go and subscribe, you'll have every show. Simple as that. Without any further delay, time for odds and ends. The end of sanity, ladies and gentlemen. Folks in Dallas, get ready. Jerry World's going to host something huge. Certainly not any, like, Cowboys NFC title games, but it will have Mike Tyson against Jake Paul coming this July to Netflix. Because what's better than a guy who's, I don't know, 58 years old going up against a guy who's three decades younger than him? Somebody's going to sanction this in Dallas. Hopefully there isn't any blood on anybody's hands. You know what the scary part is to me? First of all, I grew up watching Mike Tyson. You never got to watch him because you're obviously a lot younger than me.
I saw him in The Hangover.
Yeah. There you go. That's fair. And he did fight Roy Jones a few years back in a battle between those two. And in that fight, Tyson looked really impressive for a guy that was, you know, in his early to mid-50s at that point, whenever it was, 3 or 4 years ago. I remember talking to Al Bernstein about it, actually. I should talk to Al Bernstein about this. Jake Paul's trying to make himself into a legitimate title contender. I could have been a contender. If he loses to Mike Tyson in July, that all goes bye-bye. There's also a full circle moment to all of this because Jake Paul was actually trained by Mike Tyson at the very start and at the outset of his career. And Tyson actually said, hey, it was great that I was the one that brought him into boxing, and I'm the one that's going to put him out of boxing. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing? They always say the last thing to go on a heavyweight, you know, puncher is the punch. Tyson could still hit. I don't know if he's going to beat Jake Paul, but I think it's going to be pretty entertaining. And Netflix just continues to dip its toes into the water when it comes to live sports. First, it was the Formula One golf challenge thing they did. Then they did the tennis this weekend with Nadal and Alcaraz. And by all accounts, I talked to Patrick McEnroe earlier in the week. He said from a production standpoint, it was outstanding. You know, and obviously, he's worked with ESPN, so he knows what good production is. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. This is the main event of some monster card in July at Cowboys Stadium. Have fun.
Listen, there is not enough American money in the world that you could pay me to take one punch to the face from Mike Tyson. I don't care how old he is. This is one of the heaviest hitters in human history. Jake Paul may need actually, it's Jake, right? Not it's Logan. Jake.
Logan's wrestling.
Yeah, whatever. This is all, it's been a hilarious joke for the last however many years they've been trying to make it one. And I think that the story here really, Jason, is that, you know, if you got enough money, you can do anything.
Yeah.
That's all these kids are fueled by is their money from their YouTube streaming and all the 13-year-olds that watch them religiously. This is going to be incredibly embarrassing for the Paul family. And quite frankly, I can't wait to watch it happen. I can't wait for 65-year-old Mike Tyson to put him on his rear end 32 seconds into the fight. It's going to be magical.
Awesome. God, that would be great. It'll be fun, and it'll be fun to watch the training videos of Tyson too, because he trains hard, man. That dude trains hard. He takes his craft. You can say whatever you want about Mike Tyson, and there is plenty to chronicle about his life and his career. He takes his boxing very seriously, so Jake Paul had better be ready. Odds and ends, the end for Rafa Nadal, and it comes before he even gets to play a single set at Indian Wells at the BNP Paribas, and that is unfortunate. Announcing he was pulling out of the event because he basically can't give and be what he has been throughout his career. I said it the other day when we had Patrick McEnroe on, and I said it, you know, in conversing with him even off the air. It just didn't make sense to me that he was playing this warm-up match, this exhibition against Carlos Alcaraz in Vegas on this hard court surface that they put down at Mandalay Bay. It did not make sense to me that he was doing that, knowing how badly it means to him to be able to play in this final full season for himself. And now we find out he's going to miss this tournament. And you have to wonder, did playing that event in Vegas potentially cause the upsetting of this hip injury that he's been battling? And now we're going to be without Rafa Nadal here in Palm Springs, and who knows how much we see of him this season. Can he get through a full tournament? That's the question. I don't think he can right now.
I'm with you. It's we've gotten to that point in his career. We see this, right? We saw the same thing happen towards the Federer. End of Isner's career. Yeah. It's Federer just too. Federer yeah. too. Great point. This is just kind of the trajectory of these tennis players, and they all want to go till past when they can.
Yeah, and it's a shame because Nadal is one of the great warriors in the sport. It would have been nice to see him make one last run. You have to question now, is he even going to be viable when it comes to playing the French Open this year, which obviously means so much to him. That's going to do it for us. Sam, always appreciate it, my friend. We'll see you on Friday.
We'll talk winners then, Jason.
Yes, we will. Thank you to Tim Graham for dropping by the show. Also, Bruce Beck from NBC4 in New York. That does it for us on this Thursday edition of Sports Wrap. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.